If there's one thing we've learned about business and life, it's that people are the X factor. They constantly surprise us, both in amazing ways and not so much. We're Ben and Sia, and welcome to the Gnaw on This Business Bites podcast. This show is all about real life things we all deal with every day, how they relate to business, and how to make some sense out of our daily chaos. Welcome to the show. And welcome back to another episode of Gnaw on This Business Bites. I'm Ben and this is Sia. So here's a question that I've been talking with a lot of clients lately. Do we live in a time of change or do we live in a world of continual evolvement? I look at change as having a beginning, middle, and end. You go through a change process. You create a new program. You put some new software in play. You build a new process. You build a new plant. You move, whatever. It's change. You have the pre-planning process. You go through the change. You have post-planning, change. You've been through it. Everybody celebrates. You move on. Life is better. Great. But mostly in today's world, we're evolving. It is a period of continual evolvement. There isn't a beginning, middle, and end, because as soon as you have gone through a crisis, a change, a period of business, whatever, there's something else coming up the far side. And there's something else tapping you on the shoulder that says, hey, I'm next. Hold my beer. I'm next. And we need to start thinking of our world that way. And don't look at it as a horrible thing. Look at it as our world is forcing us or asking us for continual improvement, of constantly looking at what was, what is, what's going to be, and the cycle continues, because that's how we get better. That's how we better serve our clients. That's how we better serve our employees. That's how we do it, is that we're constantly looking at things going, how can we be a little bit better? Instead of these, all of a sudden do nothing, change, and then go back to doing nothing. If we look at it and say small incremental changes evolving along the way, continual, it enables us to be far more resilient, more creative, more adaptive. It allows us to fix things on the fly far more easily. It's probably far more cost effective. And it's probably better for ourselves, our employees, our stakeholders, our clients. Sia, let's gnaw on this.
You have reminded me of my corporate life. When you first broached this topic to me, I was like, what are you talking about? Now I understand what you're saying. Can I just tell you, and I don't know if it's maybe because they're just trying to justify the expenditure, but I have seen so much change for the sake of change, mm-hmm. that does not trickle down. It does not result in business optimization. It does not bring net new revenue. It does not squeeze out existing revenue. It is just change for the sake of change to disrupt, to keep, the company on its toes.
And 70% of change initiatives fail.
Because there is no path to evolve, as you indicate. And that's how I understand this question. Exactly. And I think shiver me timbers. Like, you gave me the chills. I'm like, oh my God. Like, you are literally describing, I have said this, and if anyone wants to look at my LinkedIn, you may know what I'm talking about. Some companies are successful in spite of themselves. Blows my fracking ever loving mind to see that. Now, I have seen change go well. I have seen some initiatives that have gone, some, which is kind of sad. I've seen some that go well and everyone's like, oh, and you see the light bulbs going ting, 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 ting. And then it's like a brand new company that you're at or a brand new division that you're at. Right.
Yeah.
So why does this happen though, Ben? Because I feel like in a lot of our discussions, it's like people aren't idiots, but they make idiotic decisions. And I'm trying to struggle my way around this.
I think the comment that you used that just keeps rattling around my head is change for change sake. It's change for optics and appearance. And we need to look like we're doing something. But the problem is, a lot of the time, the core reason why you should change is never addressed. The communication through the change process is ineffective. The wrong people are allocated to the change. There's not enough money allocated to the change. There's not a champion at the C-suite. And all of this leads to change by committee with an ineffective inability to do so because most of these people have never been through a change before. You know, a lot of these people they're not change experts. I mean, I'm talking small to medium sized companies. Large companies have change departments. You know, they screw up just as much as anybody else does, but I'm talking about the smaller companies that, you know, they go through these changes, but they don't have the leadership to be able to navigate the change. They don't have the ability to communicate through the change. They don't, you know, structure the budgets accordingly to be able to change effectively. They don't do the right training. They don't bring the right stakeholders involved. And, you know, there's all those sorts of challenges that enable change to fail. But a lot of it comes down to purpose. Why are we changing in the first place? Here's the two questions I always ask, and whether it's evolving or changing, it's what does it look like when we get on the other side of the mountain, and what can we do then that we can't do now? Why is it important? And if we don't evolve or if we don't change, what are the ramifications of doing nothing?
Oh, I love that. I love that.
And the second one is far more important than the first. Because the first one is, sometimes the first one is asked. Okay. I'd say one out of every two times, there's some version of that somebody's asked. They might not ask all of it. They might ask part of it. They may not be as eloquent. They may not listen to the answers, whatever. But very few people are sitting there asking, what are the ramifications if we don't evolve, if we don't change, if we don't move forward? What does it cost us as an organization? And if the answer is nothing, then that's a different story altogether. But very rarely is the answer nothing, because even if you're not evolving, somebody else is. Uh-huh. Your competitor is, the market is, technology is, you know, something, somebody somewhere is always doing something that puts you behind the eight ball. And you may not know about it for 3 years or 5 years. I mean, this is why we go to conferences. This is why we should go to conferences in areas outside of our expertise. This is why we should have somebody whose job it is within an organization to be looking 5 years out or 3 years out, saying, okay, what is the technology or the people or the processes or whatever that could help or hinder us in the, and how do we either take advantage of this or mitigate against them? And a lot of this comes down to, as human beings, are we scared of change? Are we excited about change? Use the word evolve, whatever we can come across this. But as we morph, are we putting the systems, the processes, the people in place to be able to do this successfully? Because it's scary for most people. Most people are terrified of this because they don't know how it's going to affect them.
Well, I think human nature, and I think in a lot of our debates and conversations and musings, I should say, is how much is human nature we are what we are, man. We be what we be. And I think change can be scary for a lot of people. But if we know the end goal of why that change is happening to evolve into another form factor that we believe in and can potentially rally around, there is a certain level of accountability, pride that will help drive that behavior to keep people rowing together.
Exactly.
And it's transparency is so critical. Communication, over communication, transparency are probably the most critical things. No smoke and mirrors. No mm-hmm. BS of what's in it for you. It's truly, here's what's going to be in it for all of us.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's going to be some component of what's in it for you. There has to be somehow. Sometimes it's you get paid. You know
and
what
sometimes,
I mean?
And sometimes it's asking the hard questions and sometimes it's making the hard statements.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sometimes it says, you know what, we're going to be, you know, integrating this new robotic process into our workflow. And unfortunately, these 30 people either are going to have to be retrained or they're going to have to be let go and we're going to have to hire somebody with that skill set.
And I think that's that. Yep.
Which and I think terrifies people.
And I do think, like we talked about in a previous, is sometimes you have to know when to move on. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not doing something, you're really not on board, you're really hating everything around you, questioning every, and I'm so guilty. I'm anti-authoritarian, dude. I question everything. I'm unhireable. I know it. Because I will call it out. Before, I used to hold it in. Now I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I don't know how good that would be because my tone might not be all that good. But that being said, that's a different issue. I do think, though, that if you, again, I think people just tell me what you think on this is, you know, do you think corporate entities, even small businesses, change for the sake of change because it seems to be the trendy thing to do? Or do you really believe that there is an opportunity to evolve through that change? And if so, how do you see yourself playing a role in that? I would love to see that in comments because
I would love to see that in the comments.
Right?
I mean, my answer to that is both. You know, there is change for the sake of change. Absolutely. There is change because knee-jerk reaction says we have to do something. So we're going to do something and we're not going to really think through it. We're just going to, you know, throw some money at this and we're going to, you know, we're going to make it out. We did a survey of the employees. The employees said that they were unhappy. So we're going to make a change. We didn't ask them why they're unhappy. We didn't ask them how they're unhappy. We didn't ask them what they felt or what was causing the unhappiness. We just heard that they were unhappy. So we're going to instigate this new program.
Yeah.
Oof. And, you know, and 9 times out of 10, that's going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're constantly asking the hard questions and we're listening and we're willing to accept the hard answers, we're going to make those incremental changes along the way and evolve in a way that is going to be best for the vast majority of people. You know, if you want to make everybody happy, sell ice cream. You know, if you want to be in business, if you want to, you know, be in situations where the hard decisions have got to be made. That's what leadership is about. You know, I'm not saying it's fair. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's just. I'm saying sometimes, you know, not everybody survives a merger. Not everybody survives, not everybody survives a move of a company. Not everybody survives a technology shift. And the trick is to save as many people as you can and to make sure that along the way, you're letting people know what has been done, what is being done, and what's going to be done, and that people are valued and understood and offer the right training to be able to bring forward as many people and make as many people successful as you can. But you are going to have some people that are going to fight it. And that's just human nature. You know, great companies do what they can do to take care of their employees and evolve and change and create new opportunities based on the fact is how is this going to affect our team?
I think you just made me think of something is we know change is inevitable. It's going to happen. And any good company that's evolved, if you're truly evolving, and you're not changing for the sake of like, because some consulting company came in and you paid $500,000 for them to say, yeah, why don't you go from a red logo to a green logo. We won't talk about that anyway, but I do think a good company, if you know change is going to happen and you give people options, I think you're going to get the most successful outcome and turnout from it. Now, because the power goes back into them to decide here, do I want to go to, you know, door A, door B, door C, right?
Red pill, and, blue pill.
Yep, 100%. And if you give those the third option, which is we'll retrain you elsewhere to go elsewhere, I think that is something that is often overlooked. It's usually, are you staying or are you going? And then how about the third option, which is, oh, okay, maybe your skill sets can be transferable in another area.
Yep.
It's just not pushed hard enough.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's,
I agree. So let's leave it there. I mean, we need to take a look and sit there and say, the world is evolving whether we like it or not.
Yes.
The question is, how intelligently are we doing it?
Yes.
How are we riding the wave? How are we staying above the wave? How are we making sure that our teams and our clients and our prospects are staying above the wave and that it just doesn't come crashing down on us? So I'm Ben.
And I'm Sia.
And we will see you soon.
Hey, hey, hey. Thanks for listening to another episode of Not On This, Business Bites. If you liked what you heard, we most humbly ask that you like, share, and hit that subscribe button. If you want to communicate more effectively within your organization, contact Ben at IamBenBaker.com or me at BrilliantBeanMedia.com. We can help you build your community, brand awareness, and personality through digital content and podcasting. We cannot wait to hear from you. See you next week for another episode of Not On This, Business Bites.